We continue seven lines up from the bottom on Samech Amar Aleph, continuing the discussion about Yayin Nesach. Ma'atra Zaira. So now we have a case of a wine press, which the way that the grapes are crushed is through a Zaira, which Rashi says is a beam. The article has an interesting picture. It looks like there's a threaded needle, which is then has a board underneath the needle, and then when you possibly turn the threaded needle, it crushes the grapes. So what would be the case there? So he's not touching it, number one, if the Ovid Kochavim is crushing the grapes, and potentially it's an indirect action, it's not a direct one. So it could be kocho or koach kocho. It could be a second level of direct force, which is perhaps more lenient. So the Gemara says as follows, Rav Papi Shari, Rav Ashi, V'itemer Rav Simi Barashi, Aser. So Machlokas, Rav Papi, and Rav Ashi. So now the Gemara elaborates as follows, Bekocho Kuli Amalo Pligid Aser. Everyone agrees that when it's kocho, it's direct force. It's not you're not touching the grapes, but it is direct force. So here, let's say that you weren't turning the threaded needle, but rather you were smashing it down. You're smashing the needle down, with the board underneath it directly onto the grapes. So that koach, that strength, is called direct force, and that's going to be usher even though he's not touching it. Similar to the other cases where he's holding the flask in his hand and just holding the flask, even though he's not touching the wine, but the possibility of being Meshach Shechet is going to be Usser. So that's number one. Bekocho kuli amar lo pligid Usser ki pligi bekoach kocho. But the machlokas between them is when it's koach kocho, when it's the second two levels of direct force, two levels removed. In that case, when you're threading the needle, when you're turning the needle, and then as a result, it's pushing down the board, and which then causes the grapes to be crushed, that would be different. That would be the machlokas between Rav Papi, who's Mekel, and Rav Ashi, who's Machmir. That's one version. Igad Amri bekoach kocho kuli amalo pligi dishari ki pligi bekocho. Others say, no, the machlokas is by kocho, even by kocho, there's a possibility that since you're not touching it directly and it's used through just your force, your direct force, and maybe that would be mutter as well. But koach kocho certainly wouldn't be an issue. That would be totally permissible. So now the Gemara tells us a story. Havu uvda bekoach kocho ve'asa Rav Yaakov minar pekod. Well, there was a story that happened with a similar situation with this ma'atra zaira, and it was koach kocho. He was just spinning the needle, which was causing the grapes to be crushed, and Rav Yaakov was machmir and said that it's usur. So that perhaps would shed light on the machlokas. Rav Yaakov paskin that it would be usur. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel and says, based on this story, it's a maisa rav. We have to be machmir. So therefore, what are you supposed to do in this case? He said, in this case, then the Jew and the Ovid Kochavim should do it together at the same time. Don't allow the Ovid Kochavim to do it by himself. As long as the Yisrael is helping, then it should be fine. The only question is, what if the Yisrael is not strong enough? Meaning, what if you need the strength of the Ovid Kochavim to turn the threaded nail? If your strength is not enough, then perhaps you're back to the same situation where it would be koach kocho and it would still be usur. So Rabbeinu Chananel says it has to be a situation where the Yisrael can do it on his own. Just so happens that he's going to do it together with the Ovid Kochavim in order to avoid any Yayin Nesach concerns. The Rashbam says that if Hefsed Meruba, the Rashbam is getting quoted by Tosfos, the Rashbam says that if it's Hefsed Meruba, then you can be Mekel and we can rely on the different opinions over here that kuli amalo pligi by koach kocho would be mutter, even though preferably we should be machmir like Rav Yaakov minar pekod. And finally, the Rashbam says something very interesting, which is that, quoted by Tosfos again, that koach kocho is the second, is two steps back. What about koach kocho or koach koach kocho? I mean, what about the third level direct force or fourth level or indirect force, a fifth, sixth, seventh? So the Rashbam says there's no difference between the second level and the 20th level, right? So if you start a Rube Goldberg for that an Ovid Kochavim started, which ends up causing the grapes to be crushed, according to Rabbi Yaakov Minar Pekod, that's koach kocho and would be usher. So it could be so many steps removed from actually crushing the grapes, but nevertheless, it's going to be prohibited. So that was an important Tosfos on the bottom of the page. The Gemara continues, Hahu chavisa, there was a barrel, de'ifka'a le'orka, that it was split down the middle, and now it was falling, it was splitting apart. So what happened? Idri Ovid Kochahu Ovid Kochavim, the Ovid Kochavim came by, and Chavka, he started to basically push the two sides together so that the wine would remain in the barrel. Rashi says, Chavka Bein Zero Osav, he basically hugged it and kept it together until a vessel was available, and then they would pour the wine. A Jew came and poured the wine into the next vessel. So was this permissible? What's the status of the wine now? So the wine clearly is usher behana. I mean, usher to drink, because Ovid Kochavim was now touching the barrel that was holding the wine. However, Sharia Rafram Bar Papa v'Tamar Rav Huna Breit Rav Yeshua Lizvuni Ovid Kochavim. But they did allow this fellow to sell the wine to other Ovid Kochavim, so that it was not usher behana. But now the Gemara qualifies the statement and says, "V'hani mili de paka l'orka." That's only when it splits down the middle, or down from up top to bottom. Aval lepusia lefosie, if it was afilu b'shasiya shari. However, if it splits across the width, you can even drink it. Meaning, if it was splitting down the from, you know, across its width, and there is a concern that the wine was going to spill out, and the Ovid Kochavim came and just held the top down and kept it connected to the bottom so that the wine remained inside the barrel. Not only can you get benefit from it, you can even drink it. Question is why? My taima, Maisa Levena Kavid, he's just doing a Maisa Levena, an act of a brick. In other words, when you lay bricks one on top of the other, you just put one brick on top and it holds it in place. So you're not doing anything here, because the bottom part of the barrel is staying exactly where it is. In the top, you're just, Rashi says, V'hovid kacham hechabidan zulazu, v'lhavi nogeya, this is not considered touching. V'dachak yayin achavis, he's just holding the top down to the bottom, and therefore there's no issue here. It's not like the case of when you're holding a flask and you're being meshach shecher. There's no shaking. You're just literally holding down the top, and therefore there wouldn't be any issue. Hahu Ovid Kochavim v'ishtakach tahavakai b'matzarta. There's another story where an Ovid Kochavim was ended up in the wine press of a Jew. And generally speaking, we'll see this later on, but if a Ovid Kochavim is in a wine press of a Jew, there's no concern that he's going to touch it, because he's going to ruin all the wine, and therefore he's scared, so we don't have to be concerned. However, as Rashi explains, here we're not talking about a case where there was a lot of wine. The wine was removed. There was just some residual moisture that was still around. Amar Rav Ashi, Iika tafech lahatviach boi hadacha boi nika vilo bahadacha balma sagile. So if there's still enough residual wine that there was tofeach lahatviach, that it was enough that wine in the wine press that it could... the moisture was significant to give something else, some of the residual, to absorb in another area. It was two levels, so it was tofeach. It itself, the wine press, had moisture, and it was enough moisture to, you know, let's say put in a napkin, some more significant moisture. Then you need hadacha and niguv, which is almost like a full-fledged kashering, which will, Rashi says, it requires efer umayim ve'efer. It needs ashes and water and ashes, which means you have to not just kasher the press, you have to also kasher the floor of the wine press. It's a larger, more elaborate kashering. That's because it had tofeach lahatfiach, so it's considered significant. But if it didn't have tofeach lahatfiach, it's just a little residual moisture, which, you know, on your hand, you touch it, and that's basically as much as it goes. It wouldn't be significant enough to cause any more residual, you know, moisture on this, another material, another item. So then, bahadacha ba'al musagi, then all you would need to do is just wash it off. wash off the wine press, and then everything is fine. So again, the concern is we don't know for sure whether the Ovid Kochavim touched anything, but if the wine press was full with wine, we're not concerned he's going to touch it at all. But if there's only a little bit of this tofiach latfiach, then if it's only a little bit of residual wine, we are concerned that he would go in because he won't think it's a big deal. He's not scared to go in there, and therefore, if it's tofiach latfiach, it needs a fuller koshering. If it's not tofiach latfiach, then it requires just a little cleaning of the press, and that's enough. So again, these are all different cases, as we've discussed. Now we get to the Mishnah. All different cases dealing with Yayin Esach and indirect touching, or the concern about touching the wine, how far we go, and what levels of Shimur are required, and how we have to kosher it, and whether it can be permissible for drinking, or only for benefit, or even if you cannot receive benefit at all.